Psalm 31 for the preaching of God's word. Psalm 31. 24 verses, and I have to preach on all of them. So I'm already telling you I won't get through it here today, so we get back to it next week or the week after or whenever. But we'll get what God has for us today. Amen. I guarantee you. Psalm 31. Let's read, if we could, verse number 10. For my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. They treat me like I have the plague. That's what he's saying. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. I've heard the slander of many, for fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemy and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The specificity of time in David's life when this psalm was penned is unknown. But speculation would cause us to believe it was written during one of two times. One being the rebellion of his son Absalom. Can you imagine your own son turning on you and stealing the kingdom from you? How difficult that must have been in David's life. Most believe, though, it was probably written during the persecution of Saul. Now I want you to imagine David's life. He has been chosen by God to be the next king over Israel. How many of you know when God chooses you, nothing the devil does can stop you? He's a man after God's own heart. He has been anointed. Watch this now. He's been anointed to be the next king over Israel while Saul is still on the throne. In his mind and in his heart, that's my throne. That's where I'm going to sit. That's where I'm going to rule. That's my palace. Where I'm going to stay, these are God's people over whom I will reign. But the king on the throne at the time wasn't in agreement with it. You know, in the Christian life, you've got to find a way to travail through circumstances where God has ordained something while at the same time people oppose it. This is where David was. I know I'm going to the throne because God said so. I know I'm going to sit there because God said so. I know I'm going to rule and reign because God said so. I know that I'm going to be king because God said so. And how many of you believe if God said it, we ought to believe it? And yet Saul is rejecting me, and David found himself not even able to sit on the throne that was his, not even able to rule a people that were his, not even able to live in a palace that was his, not even able to fulfill a destiny that was his. It's coming, God said it, I believe it, it's going to happen, I believe it, God ordained it, I believe it. But Saul is opposed to it. And so he faced persecution. He had to run and hide for his life. Saul would be on one side, David would be on the other side. There was a bounty on his head. Everywhere in town, they were told, you find David, kill him, and you find David, turn him in. This is the man after God's own heart. This is God's chosen person. And yet, the circumstances surrounding his life did not match the will of God. This psalm is written in a great sense of uncertainty. David is unsure of things. This psalm is full of praise and petition. It is full of confidence and cries. It is full of joy and sorrow. It seems at times David is absolutely certain about some things, and other times he's full in doubt. It's a psalm where David ebbs and flows. He finds himself in a climate of uncertainty. He finds himself at a time when nothing was unknown. He finds himself hiding in a cave, dark all by himself, unclear. He knows that God's word is true, that God's faithfulness is true, that God's mind has not changed. He knows that God is in control. But the people around him are persecuting him. His once hero is now his foe. Remember, Saul was not only David's king, Saul was not only David's hero, Saul was David's father-in-law. And the world has turned on him in a matter of moments. Everything that was in place now seems to be up for sale. And it is in this climate, in this culture, if you would, in this set of circumstances that David pins this psalm. And yet in the middle of all this ebb and flow, in the middle of all this up and down, in the middle of all these shifting and shaking circumstances, he makes a statement to me that highlights the entire psalm. And I think it's one that would help us in these times today. He says in verse number 15, "My times are in thy hand." Let me say it again. My times are in thy hand. Expound on this, would you, David? I think I will, since you ask. I'm in the middle of being pursued by Saul. Now watch this now. Saul has the resources of the entire Israelite army on his side. Saul has the authority above everybody in the land on his side. Saul has servants in the army and everybody else in town on his side. Saul is in control of what happens in the nation. I've got enemies that want me dead. I've got haters that would love to see me fall. I've got oppressors that want to mess me up. I've got circumstances all around me that I cannot predict. Listen to me. Fear is in front of me. Sorrow is automatic. It's logical to be discouraged. But David said, there's something that keeps me going. There's something that keeps me pressing on. There's something that sustains me. There's something that enables me to face tomorrow, even though I don't know what it will bring. And here it is. My times are in God's hand. Now watch this now. Here's what he's saying. Whether or not I make it is not up to Saul. Whether or not I make it is not up to my enemies. Whether or not I make it is not up to my foes. Whether or not I make it is not up to my circumstances. My life, my well-being, my existence, my future, my destiny is in the hand of Almighty God. Now I've come to tell you, you and I have been watching the same stuff. We've been hearing the same stuff. We've been looking at the same stuff. I've updated my phone. I got alerts that come to my phone over everything that happens with this virus. And I've seen the news. And I was preaching somewhere Thursday and Friday. And I was listening to everyone talk about it and all of the cases and everything that's coming up. Let me tell you something. I'm human just like you are. Watch this now. Instinct of fear. Instinct of unknown. Instinct of uncertainty. By the way, meanwhile, all the other problems that we were having in life, they're still here too. Listen to me now. You still got to pay your bills. You still got to stay healthy. Hey, I hope that you're not so busy worrying about flu or the virus that you won't keep your marriage intact, that you won't stay on your knees and walk with God. Hey, if this flu virus, this coronavirus goes away tomorrow, we're still in the middle of a battle trying to live for God. But I'll tell you what got me up this morning without the spirit of fear. I'll tell you why I came to church today. I'll tell you why I'm pressing on. I'll tell you why I still got a song in my heart, because my life's not in the devil's hands. My life's not in the government's hands. My life's not in the epidemic's hand. My life's not in anybody else's hand. My times are in God's hand. You better remember that. I say you better remember that. Amen. I don't care what doctor you go to. Your time's in God's hand. You listen, you can buy all this you want to. You can miss the coronavirus and still get cancer. Come on. You can be driving to the store to try to find some toilet paper and get hit by a car. Let's not get too crazy now. We need God. You can't wash everything away. Amen. You can't bump everything away. You can't wave everything away. You can't test everything away. You can't skip everything away. You're going to have to live life. You're going to have to still serve God. You're going to have to still fight the devil. You're going to have to still say no to the flesh. You're going to have to still pray, still read your Bible, and still trust God. And I'm telling you, I'll still trust God. I'll still go with God. I'll still believe God. My times are in God's hands. We got to believe that. I said we got to believe that. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me now. Can I ask you a question? How were you making it a month ago? And how will you be making it a month from now? My time's in God's hands. Now let me give you just a couple points. I'll let you go home. So you can finish washing your hands. Praise God. I ain't mad at you. And nobody been around more people than I am. So you pray for me. I pray for you. I'm contemplating even how we may have to change how we take the offering. Come up here and do the old church. Let you drop it in the bucket. Because I know you don't really want to grab the plate. Yeah, like the traditional church. Everybody come forward. We'll find out whether you give or whether you know how to act. Come up there like this and don't have nothing in your hand. I'm not telling you to be silly, but I'm just telling you, you better put your trust in God. Amen. My times are in thy hand. I want you to notice, number one, the credibility of the Father. Is God credible? I'm asking you today, is God credible? Because we've heard from all the experts and we're getting updates from all of those that are informed. But I'm just asking you today, is God credible? I'm asking you if God's credible. God doesn't expect you to be silly. God doesn't expect you to be ignorant. God doesn't expect you to be negligent. But God doesn't expect you to doubt his credibility. I hate to bust your bubble, but God knew about this before it happened. And he knows what's going on. You say, does God know the cure? He doesn't need a cure. He is the cure. The credibility of the Father. Let me give you some S's to write down in your notes quickly and to go back and read them here later on this week in your devotions. Number one, S. One of the credibility of God's, of the Father, his sovereignty. Come on now. That means he is in control. Amen. That means that even when things look wrong down here, God's handling them up there. Amen. His sovereignty. Notice he said, in thee do I put my trust. Are you glad you can trust God? Somebody say amen. His sovereignty. Watch number three. Verse number three. Stability. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Aren't you glad God's somebody you can stand on? I said, aren't you glad God's somebody you can stand on? And my fortress, aren't you glad when you have nowhere to hide, you can dwell in the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty? In times like these, we need more than a doctor or a lawyer or a counselor. We need a fortress. My strength. My strength. Verse 4b, thou art my strength. You say, Pastor, I'm weak. Well, God is your strength. Aren't you glad he's your strength? You need somebody strong that ain't going to get weak. 5A, my security. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Come on. Of course, this is a quote that Jesus made on the cross. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. But can I ask you a question? Can you trust God with your spirit? He is our security. That means we trust in him. We believe in him. We depend on him. We lean on him. Aren't you glad that you can throw yourself on the Lord? Hey, watch this now. In times like these, we need somebody we can trust that won't take advantage of us. Somebody we can trust that won't fool us. Somebody we can trust that won't exploit us. Aren't you glad? Our security is in God. 5b, thou hast redeemed me. Now I'm my sovereignty, my stability, my strength, my security. How about this? My salvation. Can I ask you a question? Are you redeemed? Then if you're redeemed, say so. Amen. Somebody ought to pause in the middle of this virus and say, I thank God I'm saved. Amen. I thank God I'm going to heaven. Hey, watch this now. It's a win-win for me. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm telling you, I woke up this morning feeling fine because I woke up with heaven on my mind. I tell you why I'm fine. My sins have been forgiven. They've been washed in the blood. They've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. I tell you why I'm having a good day, because God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my Comforter. And the Word of God is my God. I'll tell you why I'm not worried about what goes on down here. Heaven is my home. My name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll tell you why I'm excited. I'm in the family of God. I've been adopted as a child of God. I'll tell you why I'm excited. I know in whom I have believed. This world out here, they're trusting in baptism, trusting in good works, trusting in church membership. Aren't you glad that your salvation is in Jesus Christ? 6, his supremacy. I've hated them that regard lying iniquities, but watch this now. I trust in the Lord. Why? He's supreme. What do you mean? He's at top. He's at the top. Amen. Everybody's trying to get up, get through to the top. Listen to me. Aren't you glad we have access to the top? Amen. I mean, what place can you go into and walk in the building as a nobody and go all the way up to the CEO's office? Come on. Listen. There are people who've been in a church for 15 years and hadn't even got a right to meet their pastor, because they got to go through 15 assistants just to find out the answer is no. Come on now. I mean, some of these mega churches, they've never even shook their pastor's hand. You think people ain't shaking hands because of coronavirus? Some of these preachers ain't never shook nobody's hand. They're so high up, they wouldn't dare come that low down. But I'm glad that I can go all the way to the top. I've got the boldness to enter the very throne of God. I'm glad that when I pray, I don't need an appointment. I don't need security clearance. I don't need an escort. I don't need to set up a schedule. When I want to talk to God, I can walk into the very presence of God through the finished work of the Son of God and have access to the very throne of God. Wow. The sensitivity of our Father. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Look at the phrase before that. Thou hast considered my trouble. You know, one of the dangers in errant preaching is that we don't give proper credence to the words in the Bible. Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by what? Come on, talk to me. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration. It literally means God breathed. Peter said no scripture came by private interpretation, but holy men of God as they were moved by the Spirit. Here's what he's saying. The men wrote it, but they didn't write what they wanted to write. They wrote what God told them to write. So the next time somebody tells you, I don't believe the Bible, it was written by man. No. It was penned by man, but it was written by God. And you couldn't be just any kind of man. According to the Word of God, you had to be a holy man that was moved by the Spirit. Come on. Amen. So what we have in our hands today is not the word of man, it is the Word of God. It has been given by inspiration. Watch this now. It has been manifested to man by revelation. Watch this now. It is taught to us through illumination, and we rightly divide it through interpretation. It has been kept intact by God's preservation. Amen. We still have the same Bible that God wrote back then, because God made sure, despite men. By the way, there were men that said that they would wipe the Bible out of existence. You know what amazes me? They're dead, but the Bible is still alive. Here's one of the words in the Bible that sometimes we leave out. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Does that help you? Why? Because sometimes nobody knows how you feel. You try with words. You try to express it with facial expression. You try to communicate it with your body and with your gestures. But have you ever gone way out of your way to express your feelings only to discover that the person that you were expressing it to had no clue how you felt? Is that frustrating? Come on, is it frustrating? Here's what David said in Psalm 31. He said, God, you have considered my trouble. You hear me now? And he says, you know how I feel. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. My soul is my mind, my emotions, and my will. Listen to me now. I'm telling you right now, God knows how you feel. Somebody say amen. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. So when you're going through something and you're going, nobody knows, nobody, don't say nobody knows, because God knows, amen. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're dealing with. The sensibility of God. Not only the sensitivity, the sensibility, he knows. And then the safety. Verse 8, has not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, but thou hast set my feet in a large room. Watch this. Well, this helped me. Watch this now. Here's what David said. You didn't shut me up with the enemy. You set me in a large room. Now, obviously, he's not speaking literally about being set in a large room. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, emotionally and circumstantially, the devil loves for me to feel like I'm trapped, shut up in a little cubby space. He said, but one thing I've learned about God, God is a God of safety. Watch this now. Now, your circumstances may be closing in on you. But David said, when you know the Lord, while the world is closing in on you, God sets you up in a large room. You know what he's saying? He said, I want my people, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of unknown and uncertainty, I want the people of God to be walking around like they're in a large room. Is anybody listening to me today? I will not let the devil shut me in. I will not let the world close me up. If God is for me, who can be against me? Everybody may be afraid, but God is on my side, and he has set me up in a large room. Let me give you point number two, and I'm finished. Not only the credibility of the Father, but I want us to look in at David when it comes to the calamity that he faced. You know, one of the joys of the Bible is that God lets us in on what some of the great characters were encountering, so that we know that when we face similar circumstances, it does not mean we're out of the will of God. Now look at David. Number one, fears. Look at verse 4. Pull me out of the net they have laid privily for me. Is there anybody in the building today would admit that you battle with fear? Thank you for speaking for the rest of the people who won't tell the truth. Now, the last thing in the world you want to do with fear is deny it exists. Okay, the Bible never tells us to act like we don't fear. What it does ensure us of, we know it didn't come from God. Come on now. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So when fear comes, don't say you don't have it. Just make sure you don't claim it came from God. God did not give you the spirit of fear. He has given you a spirit, amen, power, love, and a sound mind, amen. There's a difference between fear and faith, and there's a difference between faith and foolishness, amen. Faith says I trust God. Foolishness means that means I don't have to do nothing, okay? God expects us to do our part. But he wants us to know fear doesn't come from God. Here's a man after God's own heart. He battled fear. Notice his feelings, verses 9 and 10. I'm in trouble, verse 9. I'm consumed with grief. my soul and my belly. Listen, you ever go through so many trials, you can feel it in your belly? Come on now. How many of you, when something happens that you didn't expect to happen, or you're going through something unsure, you can know that you're nervous by this feeling you get in your belly? Come on. I know I'm speaking your language now. You just get that feeling right there. And watch this now. You can try to play it off. I would get that feeling when I had turbulence on an airplane ride. And I'd look around while I was sitting at all those people who appeared to not have that same feeling. I found out later that they faking. They just steady reading the magazine, and I'm thinking, why are they reading? Are they feeling what I'm feeling? You got that feeling right there. You can't do nothing about it. You get up, go to the bathroom, you come back, you still got that feeling. Come on. I start singing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Something happens when I mention. Lord, you said mention. I'm saying it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Listen to that. You think that's new to you? Psalm 31, David said, it's in my belly. It's in my belly. Some of you have been looking at the news this week and getting feelings in your belly. Come on. And the more you look at, by the way, you got to be wise sometimes as a Christian. Some folks need to turn news off. Now, I like to watch the news because I like to be informed. But if you're just all out of whack, because you might need to cut the news off and turn your Bible on. Somebody say amen. I mean, if every time you're looking at one of the, sometimes you go to the doctor tells you we're going to do surgery, and one of the last things they tell you is don't look on the internet. Huh? Because you look on there and you'll see all the surgeries that went bad and everybody else to have problems. Listen, at some point in time, you got to learn how to trust God. You got to believe that God is able. Watch this now. David said, I've got fears. I've got feelings. Watch this now. I've got frustrations. Listen to him. He says, I'm spent with grief. My years are sighing. I'm frustrated. Anybody in the building dealing with frustration? Anybody been frustrating you lately? Anything been frustrating you lately? What's going to happen if we have to stay in the house for a week? Some of you spouses that have enjoyed the fact that you work, you're going to find out whether you get along or not. Huh? Some of you kids going to have to learn how to eat what's on the table and not what you want to eat. And nobody going to be taking no orders. Amen. You're going to learn how to eat some chicken noodle soup. Amen. You know, we're quick at getting frustrated. This is where David was. I'm frustrated. And I don't know about you as a man. I'm speaking for all the men in the building. We get frustrated when we're not in control. Ladies, don't amen too loud. Men like to be in control. Come on, fellas. Don't we? Even when we are not in control, we like to be controlling the uncontrolled. We lost, but we say we're not lost. We took the long route on purpose. We don't need no directions. I'm a grown man. Need no man to tell me where to go. Running out of gas, but I want to. How do you think David felt? Watch this now. It has been written to me from God that I'm the king. I can't even sit on my throne. Frustrated. How about this? His failures. Verse 10. A. My life is with grief. Why do you think he had grief? My years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my what? Iniquity. He said, it's bad enough that I'm going through trials, but now I gotta deal with the guilt of my sin. You get stuck down and out because of trials. The devil will remind you of all your failures. You let us get on a week-long quarantine inside the house. The devil remind you of all of your sins you did. He'd be telling you it's your fault you're in this situation. You're the reason why this happened. You made this happen. Let me tell you something. God does not want us to live in regret of our failures. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression. Listen to me. When these times come in our life, you better learn how to speak the scripture, how to claim the word of God, how to access the promises of God, how to call the devil a liar. You better know it. God's people need to read their Bibles more. And by the way, let me say this. I'm about to be finished. After this is over, there'll be something else. I'm not trying to speak. I don't know the future. If I did, it wouldn't be good because I'd be so busy trying to avoid it. But I've read my Bible, and we're in the last of the last days. This stuff gonna keep happening. It ain't gonna get no better. Amen. And eventually, listen, people looking and say, I'm wondering what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know about terrorism, and I don't know about global warming, and I don't know about climate change. Let me tell you something. I tell you what I'm listening for. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound. Amen. I'm listening for that horn to blow. I'm listening for Jesus to don the clouds. I'm looking for the rapture. I'm looking for the upper taker. I read my Bible, and the next thing to happen on the historical timeline is for the Lord to take us out of here. So while everybody else is falling apart, I just think we're squashing up a little bit closer to the coming of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
About time we start looking up. It won't be long before we get up out of here. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Heaven's getting sweeter all the time. Amen. Faintness, 10b. I don't have any strength. My bones are consumed. My friends, verse 11. Even among my neighbors, people that used to like me don't even like me no more. Huh? Forgottenness, 12. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of my. Isn't it amazing how quick people can forget you? Lord Jesus. I mean, it's like somebody went into their mind, hit delete. I've never seen a day and age where people can drop people so quickly. And in your mind you go, how is it even possible for you to forget me? I'm written all over your life. This is not new. People will forget you. My foes, the slander of many, 13, took counsel against me, and my fate to take away my life. Could you imagine being the destined king over Israel while looking at the news that says, kill him? Can I ask you a question? Which news feed was David to believe? The one that came from heaven or the one that was coming from earth? And let me ask you a question. Which news feed are you believing? I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. You ought to protect yourself. You ought to protect your children. And you ought to protect other people by protecting yourself. I was preaching somewhere. I don't know if I was preaching somewhere. I was somewhere recently. And I mean, the guy was getting ready to shake my hand. And he said, all over the hand. I said, hey, brother. And some godly Christian is going, don't you trust God? Yeah, but I don't trust him. Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to be wise. I looked at him like, you know, share that with somebody else. But I tell you, I'm not about to bunker myself in a closet. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be a wise one, but I'm going to be a Christian. Because my times. I said my times. The good ones and the bad ones. The high ones and the low ones. The mountains and the valleys. The ups and the downs. Just put all of me in a basket somewhere. Seal it up. And don't worry about me. Because it's in God's hands. And you have to learn how to live that way. Maybe God is using circumstances like this, not to teach us what to do in time of a pandemic, but to teach us what to do every day. You don't need God any more now than you needed him a month ago. He's just using this to show you how much you need him. Take the test and pass it, because you will come out of this situation not just finding out how good God was in it, but realizing how good God is all the time. Our Father, we bless your name. We bless your name that our times are in thy hand. I pray for folks who, even beyond this, because we don't want our focus to be just on this, that we forget about all the things that we're battling in life in general. There are some people right now that beyond this situation in our world are going through some tough times. They're facing trial. There are some people who have some physical ailments a lot worse than this virus. They need help. They need healing. Help them to realize that regardless of what the doctors have said about their diagnosis, their times are in God's hand. Give them grace. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many today would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. Let me put your hands down. How many of you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it, but God's reminding me my times are in his hand. Would you pray for me, Pastor, that I trust him and what I'm going through right now in my life? Would you raise your hand all over the building? Would you pray for me that God would give me the grace to trust him? Maybe you just need to come to the altar today and mind the Lord. God's spoken to you. Last question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I am sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand, please? Anyone like that? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anyone? Anyone? Let's stand together. Father, would you bless this invitation time like only you can? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.